Good evening. Welcome back to hear another portion of God's holy and divine word. We thank you so much for braving the elements that's out there. A lot of things are going on. I believe it's raining all over the city, but we thank God for the rain, don't we? Thank God for every good thing that he gives us, and we appreciate so very much you taking the time to come out to hear another portion of God's holy and divine word. I want to thank you. Many of you came to me on a personal note to thank me for the lesson, and I appreciate that because I think it achieved what I set out to do, and I wanted it to be encouraging. Even though we're going through many things in our lives, many of you saw through exactly what I was trying to bring out and found the lesson to be encouraging. And the encouraging thing is to know that God is in control. Isn't that right? Amen. That indeed our world may be rocked by many things that would happen in it, but certainly we can't roll. So with that being said, we're going to look at part two of our lesson on tonight. And again, that title is, When You Get Rocked, Don't Drop, Just Roll. And we're going to look at Job tonight. We had the great pleasure of looking at Joseph on this morning and to look at his life and the many things that he went through. And there's so many beautiful things that we can learn from the life of Joseph and also for the life of Job. We turn to this book when we come across hard times. I think one of the fascinating things about the life of Job is that those things happen to him in succession, as we're going to find out in a moment. And I've often said that, you know, many of us are brave on many fronts, and that's great. But when things start happening to you right after one another, I mean, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to hold on to whatever you have because it just seems like things aren't going to ever get better, but we know that they will get better because we are children of God, and we appreciate so very much that happening. We talked about superstars or the Hall of Fame on this morning, and certainly Joseph is one of those stars. Well, Job is also one of those stars when we look at his life, because remember, to qualify to be in the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, is that you have to be first rocked. And then we have to look at the possibility of us rolling so that we can demonstrate in our lives our faith and our love that we have for God. I was going back and forth on these two, trying to figure out, well, who had it the worst? Was it Joseph or was it Job? And it's close. It's very close. And if I had to look at it and consider all things, I guess I'll go with Job as being the most difficult. But even with that, with Job, Christ had it the most difficult. Above all of them, because he being innocent, coming to this world to do what no other can do and die for the sins of you and I, and certainly that make him the greatest of all. When you look at these great men that we've looked at on today, if we're highlighting, you look at their lives and you look at all that they had when things started out, and they lived a good life. Things were very good for them. You see, many people want the fame in life, right? But they don't want the pain. And many times to get to that fame, there has to be pain. Even if we look at our athletes who many people glorify, you see them scoring the touchdown at the end, but you don't know what they went through for injuries and all sorts of things. Yeah, they got the fame for the moment, but they put the time in, they put the work in, they put the pain in. So many times that we can see that life is not that much different from that. We want to get to heaven, but we want to get there without any bumps and bruises. It's just not going to happen that way. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Revelations. The chapter is 7. And I want to read just a few verses there with you in Revelation chapter 7. Starting at the 9th verse, here's what the Bible says. Here's what we can expect. Here's what we know. The Bible says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That tells me right there it's not going to be easy. Amen. There's a tribulation that those who love God will have to go through to be with Him. The Bible goes on to say, Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. Amen. Tribulations that we must go through. But in the end, we will be taken care of by God Almighty. Amen. No more tears in our eyes. No more heat from the sun. No more burdens in our lives. If we would just remain faithful to Him. But to think that we're going to go through this life without any bumps and bruises is not reality at all. Back to Job, our superstar, this Hall of Famer that we're looking at. His world was rocked. His world was rocked because when we look at him not because of what he had. And we're going to read in a minute how he had great possessions. But he's great because of what he lost. And then because of his faithfulness. What God restored back to him. That's the lesson for you and I going through, you see. We may be in life in a good place. And something may happen in our lives to take away what we have come to know that will bring great comfort to us. And yet, we have to know that if we will remain with God, God has the ability to restore all that we lost. Life is a test as we go through it, right? And we are here to pass that test. That's what life is all about. We're here to show what we can do on this earth so we'll know what we'll do if we get to heaven. And there'll be no mistakes. You see, there's no con job that's going to be done on God. There's none of that that's going to happen. You're going to get up there by accident or by way of, something happened or technicality or whatever. No, none of that is going to happen. Everyone who make it up there would have gone through the trials and tribulation of life, who would have struggled and had choices to make and have made the right choices to live for God, and God and God alone has rewarded them to be with Him forever. That's our goal, and that's what we seek to do. So look at the book of Job, if you will, please. The chapter is one. Let's read a little bit about him, and this lesson should not be very long at all. It should not be, because we just want to look at the fascinating things that happen in this man's life that we can certainly be encouraged by. In Job chapter 1, starting at the first verse, the Bible says, There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of the feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. This is the kind of man that we're talking about. This is a man who was upright, who shunned evil, who prayed for his family, who's a strong believer in God. This is the kind of man that we all should strive to be like. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, listen to this closely, please. Listen how God talks about his man. If only you and I can get God to talk about us this way. The Bible says, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. You see, the devil is constantly trying to turn God against his people. He did it on Job, and he'll do the same thing for you and I. But the Bible goes on to say in verse number 12, notice, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. That tells me a lot right there. We know that the devil, Satan, is evil. And he can do all kind of evil things to us. But that little verse right there in verse number 12 tells me that God is in control. And that nothing is going to happen until God says so. You see, God had to allow this to happen. Now, God is God. You say, well, why would he just pick on poor little Job? God, why didn't you defend him? You're not God, and I'm not God either. Thank God what happened, so you and I can turn back and read these fine examples of how you and I can be faithful. God has a plan, you see, who sees all. And God knew his man. So we began to look at the life of Job. Job was an upright man. Everything about him was good. Life was good. There was no problems. Everything under control. But you know what? Job is getting ready to get rocked in his life. His life is getting ready to be turned over forever. It will never be the same. And that's what life would do to us. The Bible picks up at verse number 13 and it says, now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in his oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. That is bad, bad news. That is devastating news, you see. The Bible goes on to say, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. The Bible goes on to say in verse 17, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. The Bible says, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. This man's world has been rocked. His children now has been killed. The Bible goes to say all his possession has been destroyed. He has gone from the top to the bottom. His world has been rocked. But look at the man and what he decided to do in verse number 20. The Bible says, then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. This man, you see, after all that he's gone through, the Bible says that yes, he began to mourn his losses. But the Bible says he fell down and he worshiped. That's the message that you and I need to see when we look at this man's life. When bad things happen in succession, he fell down, the Bible says, and he worshiped. Notice what he says in verse number 21. Listen to his words. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You talking about rolling? That's how you roll. When your world get rocked, you have to roll. When his world was rocked, he didn't drop, he rolled. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Do we realize that? We are so happy to receive his blessings, don't we? We receive all of his blessings. They come in many forms. But when God take away just one little thing, oh, how we begin to whine and to complain. Oh, woe me. All those blessings that he has given us, you see, we need to thank him. And you know, we need to thank him more during the hard times. When the Lord takes something away from us, we need to turn around just as Job did and praise him and worship him and praise his holy name. Because he is God. And because of that, we ought to love him. And the Bible says in verse number 22, listen, and in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. That's a lesson right there. You know how we are in our flesh. Something go wrong, we turn to God and we'll blame God to his face. God, why you allow this to happen to me? God, I thought you loved me. I go to church every Sunday. I give up my means. I do this. I'm a good person. I don't bother anybody. Why would you allow this to happen to me, God? Job, the Bible says, did not charge God with wrong, and we better not charge God with wrong either. There's a lesson we learn no matter what happens in our lives, you see? We need to turn to God and say, praise be his holy name. Don't ever charge God with wrong. God cannot do wrong. He's incapable of doing wrong. And we need to understand that, you see, in our lives. His life, Job, was rocked, but rather than drop, he rolled with it and gave us great examples of how we should live. You see, your world is rocked when you lose your children, lose your possessions, right? That's a hard way to go. But the devil didn't stop there. Don't tell me he don't pile on. Don't tell me when you're down, he will leave you alone. The devil has no compassion at all. He will kick you and kick you and kick you because he does not care. We will stop right there and say, that's enough right there. But the Bible says in chapter 2, notice this, because he was unsuccessful, right? The devil was unsuccessful. But because he's unsuccessful, that doesn't mean he's going to stop. He's going to continue, right? The Bible goes on to say again in chapter 2, verse 1, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, you know, Satan is right with about 99% of the people that lived in this world. If a man's health leaves him, he will turn on God. You've seen it. People have been faithful to God all their lives, but when their health go bad, God, how could you do this to me? I never shall forget. Never shall forget our brother Jim Sullivan and the story that he told me. His grandfather was a faithful man all of his life. Later in life, he lost his health and he turned on God. And Brother Jim told me, he said, that would never be me. I'm never going to turn my back on God. And we know what Brother Jim went through at the end of his life. We know that he suffered, but he kept on and on. The man became more and more faithful. What an example. And because of that example, I looked at it and said, you know what? I'm going to be like Brother Jim. I don't know what's going to happen to me as life goes on if God gives it to me. I may indeed lose my health. But I'm determined because of the example that I've seen through this man, Jim Sullivan's life, that I'm going to hang on in there just like Brother Jim did. You see, that's how it is. Life, lessons are passed down when we see them. So we need to understand that, you see. But this man, at least Satan said, touch his skin, touch his bones, touch his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Bible says in verse number 6, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself potsherd, which he scraped himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, notice this, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. You know, it's bad enough when you have all your losses, your children, your possessions, now your health. Now he has to deal with his wife who's saying, why are you holding on to your integrity? You see, the mindset back then was, if bad things are happening to you, you have sinned. That was their thought. You see, you have sinned. That's why these bad things are happening to you. So his wife said to him, I don't know what you did, but why are you holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Turn your back on God. He certainly has turned his back on you. Very bad advice that his wife gave him. His world was rocked by all the things that he lost. And now he has his wife giving this bad advice to him, saying, just curse God and die, man. Give it up. It's over for you. Can't you see that? But you know what? Rather than drop after he was rocked, he rolled. The Bible says in verse number 10, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You talk about integrity. You talk about faith. This man has lost everything. Wealth, health. Now his wife has turned on him. His world has truly been rocked. But he didn't stop. He didn't drop. He rose because he was a man of faith. A man of great humility who gave God honor, and he sinned not, the Bible says, with his lips. You know, there was some bad things happening to you, right? Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, the Bible goes on to tell us, starting at verse number 11, that he had three friends. Friends is going to seek you out now. And you know, what I learned from this is that when things are happening in your life, and things are bad, everybody who come, who say they come to help you, sometimes they really don't come to help you. They come to see you in misery. It's a show to them. It's a time for them to stand up and to say, what is wrong with your life? I told you the mindset back then. You see, these three friends came to see Job and to look at him. You read the context of it. It said, but when they saw him, they didn't even recognize him. They didn't recognize. That's how bad he was looking. And the Bible says they sat there for all those days and said nothing. Just looking, you see. But when these friends came and began to look at him, you begin to wonder, what's their motive? Where's the love and the concern? Now, I'm glad that we rally for one another at this congregation. I'm glad. But if you're going out to see someone, make sure you go on for the purpose of God and not any other reason. You're not going out there to find out how they're doing. You know they're not doing well. That's why you're going. You're going out there to help them in any way that you can. And you know the beautiful thing about it sometimes? You can go out there and you don't have to say anything. Sometimes just your presence is good enough. But sometimes that ain't good enough people. They got to open their mouth and begin to talk and begin to mess up everything. Sometimes just go if you have to go and just be quiet. Maybe they'll tell you how you can help them. But the Bible says, you see, now he has these friends who have come, who have rocked his world. Look at chapter 4, led by Eliphaz, right? At verse number 7. Remember now, this is his conclusion. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, that's a question. Or where were the upright ever cut off? Even as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his anger they are consumed. What a friend. What a friend is that? He's going to come out to this man in all of his turmoil and tell him, yeah, you have sinned. That's the reason why you're cut off. That's why you're reaping what you have sown. You have sinned, Job. He was trying to convince Job that he had sinned. You don't know. God knows. And if you continue to read through, and it's so much, just like Joseph, so much written in the book of Job, so many lessons that we can learn, you'll find that God dealt with those three friends. Dealt with them. But trying to tell Job what God, this is what God means. How do you know what God means? So we need to understand, you see, when we look at it, this man's world was certainly rocked, but boy, did he roll. And that's the great example that we have. In Job chapter 27, as we near the end of this lesson, Job chapter 27, we find in this reading, and I like to read very quickly, verses 1 through 12, because he holds on to his integrity. And that's what we're trying to do. The Bible says in Job chapter 27, starting at verse number 1, moreover, Job continued his discourse and said, listen. This is the conclusion of all these things that has happened to him. As God lives, who has taken away my justice, and the Almighty who has made my soul bitter, as long as my breath is in me, and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say you are right till I die. I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. May my enemies be like the wicked, and he who rises up against me like the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he may gain much if God takes away his life. Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call on God? I will teach you about the hand of God. What is with the Almighty, I will not conceal. Surely all of you have seen it. Why then do you behave with complete nonsense? This is this man's conclusion. I will not lose my integrity. I will go on and live for God, and I will teach others. And all that will be unrighteous is nonsense before God. This is the kind of man that we serve, and this is why he is a superstar. This is why he's in the Hall of Fame, because his world got rocked. He did not drop, but he rolled, and gives, again, great examples for you and I to have. You know, God is good. He is a just God. And God is able, as I said earlier, to make everything right again. God has the ability to do that. Whatever the devil can take away, God can give it back many times over again. Why? Because he is God. Look at the conclusion of this man's life in Job chapter 42 and the verses 10.
Job chapter 42 and the verses 10. The Bible says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. God is able. We don't have to feel sorry for Job. God has Job, and he has you and I as well. We need to understand, you see, just like he lived his life, we live ours. And our lives can truly be rocked by the things that can happen in this life. But don't quit. That's the idea, you see. We don't want to quit. We want to continue to live for God. Don't lose your integrity. Don't give up on God. Don't let your faith just waver away. Too many people have done that, you see. Life can be difficult. I understand that. It is devastating, some of the things that can happen to us in this life. But God is God. And let me tell you how you can brace yourself for that. No matter what comes your way, no matter what God gives you, if you don't put that before God, you'll be all right. When you put those things, whatever they may be, husband, wife, children, job, friends, success, I don't care what it is. As long as you don't put those things before God, guess what? You can lose those things because you have something to fall back on. God Almighty. Isn't that right? Put God first, you see? So when those things are taken away, if he decides to take them away, you'll know. And you can speak as Job speaks. Naked I came into this world and naked I'll leave. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we do that? That's what it's all about, you see? Because if you hang in there, these losses that we have in this life cannot compare to the goodness of what God will give us in heaven. I guarantee you, you won't even think about these losses down on this earth. When you get there, you're going to be so excited, you can't have a negative thought. You're not worrying about all those things that happen, you see, because now God has rewarded you to be with him for an eternity. And that makes up for all of it, doesn't it? But we got to ready ourselves, embrace ourselves, and be ready for this life. Because this life, we can get rocked. Isn't that right? Amen. Nobody wants it. I don't want it either. I don't anticipate it. I want to get through it as easy as I can, even now as I speak. As the easiest path I can get. But I want to serve God in the end. I want to be faithful to him. So whatever come, let it come. Let me deal with it. I pray to God that I will be successful and hold on just like Job did, just like Joseph did. And because they did it, you and I can do it too. Isn't that right? So let's just rally around each other as much as we can and help one another in this life, knowing that there is a greater, greater place for you and I. This world is not our home. Let's stop acting like this place is our home. All these things are temporary, you see. Your heart may be broken, that's temporary, if you stick with God. All these disappointments that you have in your life, those things are temporary, you see, if you stick with God. God will give us that reward in the end, and that's what we seek to do. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, perhaps your world has been rocked, and you don't know what to do. Well, here's what to do. Roll with Jesus. Stick with the Lord, you see. He'll make it all right. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you need to by coming and hearing his word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that is reward of them that diligently seek him. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Matthew chapter 10, verses are 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Are you willing to be baptized in water for the remission of sins? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Then we all need to remain faithful until the end. That's what we're talking about with Joseph and Job. Be faithful until the end. Don't let go, you see. Be faithful. Revelation chapter 2 and the verse 10 talks about that crown that we will get if we will just hang on. Don't quit. Yes, trial and tribulation will come. Don't quit. Some will be thrown in prison. Don't quit. Your heart may be broken. Don't quit. Hang with God. And in the end, he's going to bless us to be with him for an eternity. And that's what we look forward to. If you're here tonight, you need a prayer, you know someone it is, why don't you come and together we stand and sing the invitational song.